I am Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte is in the studio with me. And on the phone, we have USGS scientist Bill Ellsworth. Thanks for being on Sounds Good this morning.
Well, my pleasure to be here.
Bill, you're speaking to us from the Earthquake Science Center at the U.S. Geological Survey Organization in Menlo Park, California. You're sort of right on top of it all, aren't you?
Well, we live with earthquakes every day out here, so there's something that we think about and plan for.
As do we over the New Madrid. And one of the reasons your research and publication about injection-induced earthquakes interested me was that there's talk of fracking operations in southernmost Illinois, and there's concern about it. And I'd like you to kind of speak to your research with respect to fracking and then the injection-induced earthquakes. And I'm sorry that it's going to be sort of superficial given the intense science of your article.
Well, I'll try to summarize things very briefly. There are two different issues, and it's really important to keep them separate. One is the operations that develop the shales for production of either gas or oil, which is called hydraulic fracking, fracturing or fracking for short. And this is a process in which a small portion of the drill hole is pressurized, and very tiny earthquakes are created to break up the rock to allow the gas or oil to escape. Our studies of this process suggest that there's very low seismic risk associated with it. The largest earthquake we know of globally that's been caused by literally hundreds of thousands of these frac treatments is only magnitude 3.6, so large enough for people to feel locally, but unlikely to do any damage. What we found in studying both literature and our own research is that the disposal of wastewater carries a higher risk. And in some cases, but literally not many, there have been some moderate-sized earthquakes that have been induced by injection of wastewater. Now, wastewater is very normally disposed of in this country in wells designed for this purpose. There are over 30,000 of them, and it turns out that a few are problematic. So our advice as a research agency is to get ahead of the problem to ensure that adequate monitoring is in place so that if small earthquakes should be detected, some actions could be taken that would lessen the chance of a larger one.
Explain the physical effect of injection-induced earthquakes, the hydraulics of it.
Yes, so this is something that we understand quite well, and we know that everywhere in the Earth, rocks are under stress, which is to say that a well-oriented fault has the potential of moving in the ambient stress field. And if you can weaken the fault in some way, it's possible to cause it to slip. The fault will remain stable or locked as long as the friction on the sliding surface is greater than the forces that want to make the fault slide. So one way of reducing that force is to increase the fluid pressure, and if you can think of it as kind of pushing the sides of the fault apart. So if you inject enough fluid under high enough pressure, it will cause the fault to slip. This theory works great in terms of explaining how earthquakes start, but it doesn't tell us much about how large they get. And so in the industry, when they're doing hydraulic fracturing, they monitor very carefully to make sure that the fractures stay within the target formation. Wastewater disposal is monitored less well, and very large volumes of water can be disposed of through this process. So that occasionally we think there are opportunities for faults to be weakened by this process. But again, it's very rare, but and something that we think we can get a handle on through monitoring, not only of the rate and volumes of injection, but also the potential or incidence of earthquakes nearby.
These deep wastewater wells come from industry, municipalities?
It comes from a very wide variety of sources. In normal production of oil and to a lesser degree gas, some wastewater will be recovered along with the product that one's trying to get one's hands on. And often that water is too salty to be disposed of at the surface. So at least in the U.S., it's commonly injected into deep wells that are designed to make sure that the water is far deeper than any potable water sources. So a lot of attention is paid to making sure there's no contamination of drinking water, but seismic safety concerns are not currently part of the regulations.
how do they become part of the regulations?
Well, that's a really good question. As a science agency, we can provide advice to the lawmakers and the regulators about what are prudent and well-founded scientific principles on which regulations can be based.
Well, that's a concise but hard answer to go forth from, you know.
Well, new regulations are hard to sell in this political climate, certainly. And I think one encouraging sign that I've seen is that the people that I know that are in the petroleum industry are much more cognizant of this problem than they were just a year or two ago. And so I think the industry realizes it's, you know, to their benefit as well to make sure that they get this this issue under control. I mean, after all, no one is trying to create earthquakes to injure people, and it will be better for their operations as well as public safety if some prudent steps are taken to lessen the risk.
So, what are they doing?
Well, one thing that I think companies are doing, some of them are actually doing their own seismic monitoring to better understand their operations. In a few cases, such as in Arkansas and in Ohio, there were earthquakes that were large enough to do some minor damage, and that resulted in the loss of those wells. That's a big investment, so that certainly got their attention.
Bill, on a broader topic, the map that you include for the frequency of earthquakes obviously shows that preponderance on the West Coast, and it really does look like there'll be a very large archipelago in some point in the future when that fault line busts out the California area.
Well, we know that, you know, that the West Coast is on the plate boundaries, and there will be big earthquakes in our future. So the building codes in this country take that into account, so that we build stronger buildings in the West for earthquakes than we do in many parts of the country. And unfortunately, these injection-induced earthquakes are occurring in places where the seismic hazard is much lower. So it does kind of change the equation a little bit. In your area, as you know, the New Madrid Fault System is one that does have the potential for producing very big earthquakes, as they did in 1811, 1812, and so building codes there are adjusted to account for that. So hopefully any fracking-induced earthquakes would remain small enough that they would be within the safety limits of the current codes.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Bill. We really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Bill Ellsworth is at the Earthquake Science Center of the U.S. Geological Survey in Menlo Park, California.